Wasn't anything else I needed to mention, was there? Okay. Back to Matthew chapter 5 and 6 again. Let me read these verses once again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 and chapter 6 and verse 1. 5 and 16 is where our Lord said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Of course, then he continued on with what is traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount, and included in that is this statement in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed. And that's a, you know, in it even, we can gather that from even the English, but in the Greek it's really strong, take heed. In other words, be aware. Open your eyes, look, you know. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, a brief review. These two statements stand at the crux of the truth between two things. One, that is chapter 5, verse 16, is the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is the only public work that God has ordained to be seen of men. That is the testimony and the witness of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Everything else may or may not be done publicly. You see, when you pray, it doesn't, when our Lord says here in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, go into your closet, that doesn't mean that it is a sin to publicly pray. But he says when you do it to be seen of men,
exactly,
you have your reward.
Exactly.
When you give, you if you give to be seen of men, that doesn't mean that, David, a public giving is somehow sinful. But our Lord here is making a contrast between what God has ordained for men to do as a part of the salvation of God. And that's not against what Joe said. Because it says, the scripture is clear, it pleased God by the foolishness of what? Good works. It pleased God by the foolishness of you praying in public. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I feel foolish for praying in public. And people can take that any way they want.
Yeah.
You know? No, the truth is this. The public works that God has ordained to be seen of men is the public proclamation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Everything else we do can be done where? In secret. You see? That's what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. And as I said last week, the skeptics, when they read these two verses, which to the natural mind is a contradiction, right? Because one, he says, let men see your good works, doesn't he? In other words, not just let, but do it in a manner that they will see it, right? And then he turns right around and says concerning giving and prayer and fasting in particular, do these things in secret so that no one sees you. Because if you do them in public, just to be seen of men, then you have your reward.
Exactly.
Being seen of men. So the skeptics scoff and mock and cry contradiction. False Christianity confounds and confuses these two things. And they try to mix these two things up. In other words, they say, no, you should let men see you pray, but just don't do it to be praised of them. But it's much further than that. Because there are other verses which I didn't read in verse 2 concerning the alms. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets.
Yeah.
Do you see that? And in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But, you see that next one?
Yeah.
But when you do your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does.
Exactly.
You see that? Now, as I said, and let me wind this up from last week, the works mentioned in chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. And I don't believe they're exhaustive, okay? It's not just almsgiving, which is helping out. Basically, Mason, I can say, helping out the poor. Helping out other people. Helping those who, it doesn't mean just helping the, helping those who are in need.
Yeah.
It's not just, these three things are not exhaustive. It's not exclusive of just these three things. It's all religious effort, no matter what it might be, can be done in private and in secret. But the proclamation of the person and work of Jesus Christ is always a public thing.
Yes, sir.
Even if you're doing it to one person in a home,
yeah,
it's still a public thing. So the works mentioned in chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, cannot mean the same as those of chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, can it? But see, this is what religion does.
Yeah.
They say, well, people need to see you pray. Let people know you're a Christian.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, most of the time, when you try to let people know you're a Christian, they will start pointing out every fault they can find out about you. If you're using your own personal works as the decree or the manifestation. That is, if I try to show people I'm a Christian by praying, they will point out all the times I did not pray.
Yeah, exactly.
If I try to prove to people I'm spiritual by giving and helping others, they will point out all the times I did not give and help others.
That's right.
And vice, just the same thing. But there's one thing that's true. When you point out the person and work of Jesus Christ, then that is letting your light shine. So those works are different. Think about this. Our good works that are to be seen before men so that God will be glorified is said to be our light. Right? Look at it again. Let me read it. Chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. See it? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But this is not what professing Christianity promotes as a public good work. You think about it. Now, the other side of it, when I pray, people will point out the times I do not pray. But when I pray and people do acknowledge that, who do they acknowledge?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Well, boy, did you see him pray. Or boy, did you hear that prayer. Exactly the opposite of what happened when our Lord Jesus Christ declared the truth about himself, men became angry, agitated, and hateful. And yet, God will be glorified.
Amen.
And we'll look at that, Lord willing. Think of this. So-called Christianity promotes their message is not about Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's about what you are, what you do, or what you don't do. Most places that are called churches today will be up preaching about what you ought to be doing and what you ought not to be doing in order to be manifest as being a Christian. What our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, there is a light that is set on a hill and it cannot be hid. There is a candle or a lamp that's been lit and you don't light it to hide it under a bushel. There is salt, and if it loses its saltiness, it's of no value. Now let me tell you something. The only thing that's worth its weight in gold is the message of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because that is that which God uses to convert the soul. You can teach a man all day long that he ought not be a drunk. And you might turn him from drunkenness to sobriety. But all you have is a sober, depraved person. You might teach a bank robber to stop robbing banks, and he may become an upstanding community citizen,
yeah,
but all you have is a totally depraved community citizen.
Exactly.
That's all you have.
Yeah.
But when you declare the person and work of Jesus Christ, God is glorified and God is honored.
Amen.
That's the whole of the book. Even Hebrews says in the volume of the book, of what book?
Yeah.
The reference there is to the Old Testament. And he's basically saying the whole of the Old Testament is speaking of one person.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As Tim James says, and aptly pointed out in a message he preached on the evidence of salvation, the only people who remember their good works wind up in hell.
Yeah. That's right.
The people who boast in and find hope in and find solace in and find comfort in their good works are the ones who were here, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you.
Amen.
The fact is, I am suspect of every work I do.
Yeah.
Suspect of it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Religion says, praying, fasting, and giving all for the cause of Christ. Look at how spiritual I am.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they say. Giving. Let me say it again. Because these are the three things our Lord mentions in particular. Giving, praying, and fasting. Look at what I do for others. Look at how vital I am.
Yeah.
But there's one thing in letting the light shine. That the light will shine even if God has to cause the stones to do it.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, the light will shine. And remember that the context, people were glorifying and honoring who? Christ.
Yeah.
And our Lord said, if these be silent, what would happen?
Yeah.
The stones would cry out.
Amen.
So what is the light of chapter 5, verse 16? It is giving witness to the truth of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Let me point out this. There is no need to argue with a person who does not profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no need to argue, debate, or even discuss Christian liberty with them.
You're right.
Because they don't get it.
Yeah,
and they can't get it. And the fact is, apart from regenerating grace, they can't even get the truth of the message of the person and work of Jesus Christ, as we will see. Think about it. Our Lord says, you are salt, right? And let me go back and read that. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. And people take this personally and think it's them. They think it's their praying, their giving, and their fasting, don't they? When our Lord is clear, it's not those things, because those things are to be done where? In private, in secret. Not even to be seen of men. The only thing that God's actually ordained to be of any spiritual benefit to anyone is the public proclamation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's our message.
Yes, sir.
Salt. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth what? I don't care how much we pray.
Exactly.
I don't care how much we give. I don't care how much we fast. If the light has gone dim, if the salt loses its savor, if it loses its ability to season, what good is it?
Yeah.
It is of no value.
Exactly.
Now think about this. The scripture's clear. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. And when we get into the What I'm going to term the actual doctrinal books of the Bible, that's not to indicate that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not that. But remember what I mentioned last Sunday. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, on many occasions, our Lord Jesus Christ taught the truth, but he did not expand it and expound on it in great detail.
It's true.
And the reason is because the time had not yet come.
He
told some people about certain things, keep quiet about me being the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
Did he not?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
More than once. Yeah.
Now look at this. Colossians chapter 4. And I need to move on. Move quickly. Look. Colossians 4 verse 6. Let your... Now notice that one word right there to start with. What? Let your actions be always with grace. Is that what it says? No, sir. Let your speech, you see that?
Yeah.
Because it's what we say about Jesus Christ that is light, that is salt.
Mm-hmm.
Let your speech be always with grace, what? Seasoned with salt.
Yeah.
It's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Why? Look, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to what? Answer every man.
Amen.
Now let's look at another one. And if I 1 Peter chapter 3, turn there. 1 Peter chapter 3, and well, for the sake of time, let me just read this one verse. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an what?
Answer.
Not an action. Now, answer is an action.
Yeah.
All of these things, letting your light shine, giving, praying, fasting, all of these things are actions, Joe.
Yes,
but some of them are to be done in secret,
yeah,
while others are to be done publicly.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the whole message of Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 concerning that part. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. This is why I said, wait for God to call someone to cross your path, or wait for God to move, put you in the path of someone,
yeah,
before you're ready to speak. Don't be trying to place yourself in the path of someone.
Yeah.
Be ready to give an answer,
yeah,
to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. With what? With meekness and fear. In other words, Peter said, here's something you're supposed to do publicly. Right? What? Be able to give an answer for the hope that's in you.
Yes, sir.
Now look at this one. Look back now to Mark chapter 9. We'll just kind of sum this. This is our Lord's words, so we'll just kind of sum this part up. Salt. If we talk about being salt, you are the salt of the earth. Does that mean I need to go out there and pray and let people see? No, I'm praying. Let them know I'm talking to the Lord. No. Mark chapter 9 and verse 50. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Look at what it says. Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. And you remember what I told you last week? The one true manifestation of a child of God is this: to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to love the brethren.
Yes, sir.
That's where it's at. That's where it's all manifest at. This world will tell you, well, the way I really know I'm a Christian is because I read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, there's not a one of us that reads the Bible like we ought to.
Exactly.
Well, the reason I'm a Christian is because I don't cuss. Well, you ought not. Because when we do, we sound like fools.
Yeah.
And that's just right.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, that kind of language is it's not gutter language. You know what it is? It's the language of ignorance. And that's the whole point of it, you know? Usually people cuss when their logic is very weak and unsound.
Yeah.
That's why we use language like that. Because what we're trying to espouse to people as fact, usually Joe ain't fact.
Exactly.
It reminds me of that movie, and I know movies don't teach the truth of God, but when Captain Kirk was talking about Spock and said he was using colorful metaphors.
Yeah.
This is why people talk like that. Why? They have nothing else to talk about. And let me tell you, your works is nothing to talk about. My works are nothing to talk about. But his work is everything.
Amen.
Worth talking about. Now, move on. It's salt. Scripture says, our Lord even said, ye are the light of the world. Isn't that what he says? You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. What about that? We'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And think about this. Now, Earl Cochran pointed this out years ago. The scripture pointed it out before Earl Cochran did. But Earl Cochran was pointing it out in a message he preached. And God was pleased at that moment in time to open my eyes up to something.
Yeah.
And for the context, let's just get it here. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become saints. He didn't say, don't do this so you can go to heaven. No. Did he? He said, don't conduct yourself like that, because that's not what is becoming of being a child of God.
Exactly.
Being a separated individual. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. My wife was one time told, well, the scripture never says not to cuss. You know? Like it never, the scripture never says don't rob banks either. Now does it? It don't. It never, never do I ever read, thou shalt not rob thine bank.
That's right.
But it does say, thou shalt not steal. And right here he says, neither filthiness, nor what? Nor foolish talking. Well, what's that really mean? Don't be stupid. You know exactly what that means. Nor foolish talking, nor jesting. That don't be just joking around. It's talking about telling dirty jokes. Just bring it right down to modern day language. Don't be talking and using sexual innuendo.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. Look, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of what? Thanks. Now, what's the one thing that every believer is to be thankful for?
Yeah.
Huh? What's the one thing we all can be thankful for? The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Therefore don't partake of what they partake of.
Exactly.
You know what he says? That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But look, now here's what I saw about Earl. He was mentioning, he talked about all of this, but when Earl, he mentioned, for ye were sometimes darkness.
Yeah.
And as Earl pointed, it doesn't say here, though it's true, it doesn't say here, you were in darkness. Though we were.
Yeah.
He said, you were darkness.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't just in a certain place, Joe. I was the place.
Yeah.
I wasn't just in darkness. I was darkness itself.
Exactly.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now, what? Light. But where? Where?
Yeah.
In the Lord.
Amen.
The Buddhist prays, but he knows nothing of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he's not light.
Yeah.
The Muslim prays and prays to the God of Abraham.
Yeah.
But he's got the wrong one. Therefore, he's not light.
Yeah.
You see, the believer prays to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he or she is only light. Where? In the Lord. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And since you are light, then what ought we to do? Walk like children of light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. What? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Is praying, just praying, is that acceptable? Not necessarily.
Exactly.
Right? Is giving just, that's, well, it don't, as long as you give, as long as you're sincere, you may be sincerely wrong.
Exactly.
Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what? Talk against them. You see here, the light, in other words, is not my personal character, though my personal character is to be different from everybody else's. Right? We are light where? In the Lord.
Amen.
Now let me move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know this one. I want you to think about this. As I said, I am persuaded that the three things our Lord mentioned, almsgiving, praying, and fasting, are not exhaustive. They cover the whole plethora of everything. But look what our apostle says. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. Now think about the gravity of this statement. For Christ sent me not to baptize.
Amen.
Why? Is he saying baptism is wrong?
No, sir.
No. But men distort the truth of and the reason for baptism.
Exactly.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what? To show everybody I'm a Christian by praying. To show I'm a... You know, most people think, well, be baptized. That's how you show everybody else you're a Christian. No, that's how you show fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that you believe the same thing they do, the same God they do, the same gospel they do.
Amen.
And Paul is not being melodramatic. He means this. Christ didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to do what?
Preach
the gospel.
Amen.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And even then, it's what? Not with wisdom of words.
That's right.
I am not trying to argue someone into Christianity.
Exactly.
I am not trying to win the debate. It doesn't matter whether I win the debate. It doesn't matter whether you win the debate. The point is to proclaim, to preach, to give public testimony to the truth of the personal work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whether you win the debate doesn't matter or not. For we preach, look, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross. Men love praying, don't they? They love giving. They love fasting. Penny, they love speaking in tongues. And most of them who do won't turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 26, and read what Paul says about tongues.
Yeah.
He said basically this, and this is a paraphrase, I'd rather speak four or five words prophesying than I would speak 1,000 in tongues.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why? Because prophesying is more important. That's what he says. I've just summarized that whole chapter. And yet there are people who hinge their whole eternity on the fact that they say or think they speak in tongues.
Yep.
Do you know that?
Right.
No. Look at it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved.
Amen.
It is the power of God. And let me just point out as just a side note here. It is not the preaching of the cross saves you.
No.
It is the preaching of the cross is the power of God if he's already saved you.
Amen.
That's what that says.
Yes, sir.
Because if it's not, if it's foolishness to you, it don't change you.
No.
You see?
That's it.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. It is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
Yes.
The Apostle Paul doesn't deny that man doesn't have wisdom. You know that? He just says man's wisdom means nothing.
Exactly.
When it comes to the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. In other words, comparatively, it is nothing. Comparatively, it is nothing.
Exactly.
For after, look at it. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased. In other words, God was pleased to do something exactly opposite of the way men think it ought to be done.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Because what do we do today if we got two opposing things? We debate it out.
Yeah.
And find out who has the better argument. We ain't trying to argue anything. We're declaring something. We're preaching something. We're proclaiming something. A man who accomplished a work.
Amen.
He was the God-man.
Amen.
Look, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see that? Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Paul did not travel from Jerusalem all the way to Corinth to show them how to pray.
Exactly.
Now you remember what Corinth was. It was the San Diego of their day. And I do not apologize to you who are from, or I should say San Francisco. Sorry, San Diego. I will apologize to San Diego. Corinth was the San Francisco of the day. Everything was just, you know, it's okay. And what did our apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, say to this group of depraved Gentiles? I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because that's the only message that does a sinner any good.
Yes, sir.
Because there's not a one of us that gives enough, prays enough, and fasts enough to gain God's mercy and compassion.
Amen.
Not a one of us. Now, Christ, in Matthew 5 and 6, and other writers in other passages, does this. They do this. The truth of the Scripture does this. And I'll put it as from Christ, because it all comes from Him. Christ warns us to avoid the ways of obsolete religion.
Yes, sir.
There was a religion that was, that religion was ordained of God, but even that religion is now obsolete. Because even the writer of Hebrews says that when God promised, even in the Old Testament time, He said, a new covenant will I make. He made the first old by calling this next one new.
Exactly right. That's it.
You see? Old means what? Obsolete. New is what? That which comes in and takes over.
Amen.
And this is what the Scripture does. Paul says, and he was talking to a bunch of Gentiles in Galatians 4, mainly verses 8 through 9. And he says this. And I've got to read it because I'll misquote it. But Galatians chapter 4, look at what it says. How be it then, when ye knew not God. Who's he? He's talking to Gentiles. Ye did service unto them which by nature are no God. You were idolaters, is basically what he was saying.
Yeah.
You were a bunch of, you would worship a stick. Yeah. Think about it, you know that?
Oh yeah.
You would worship a stick, a piece of rock.
Yeah.
You worship that as God. Mm-hmm. You talking about stupidity.
Yeah.
Absolute spiritual depravity.
Yeah.
But look, how be it then? When ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather, as Joe was pointing out, are known of God, turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements. Why do you go back to something that was of no value to start with?
Exactly.
You see that?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether it's heathen religion or whether it was legal religion. It's of no value.
Yes.
Christ warns us to avoid the ways of obsolete religion, hypocritical religion, self-righteous religion, self-serving religion, and heathen religion. The only true religion on the face of this earth is manifest forth in the proclamation of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As I said last week, and I'll say it again because I mean it, this is just a fact. There are lots of people who hinge their eternal destiny on the fact that they used to be a drunk, now they're not. And as I said, that would mean then that everyone who has successfully went through an AA meeting is a Christian. But we know that's not true. Even they know, David, that's not true.
That's right.
But yet men put emphasis on what men do rather than listening to men put emphasis on what Christ has
Amen.
Done.
Amen.
Now, are we teaching do whatever you want, live however you want? No. Look at what Peter says. And so I don't have time to go through all these passages. But look at 1 Peter chapter 2. But let's look at how he starts it. 1 Peter 2. And he's talking about Jesus Christ is basic. He's it.
Yeah.
He's everything. He's the chief cornerstone, right?
Yes, sir.
Verse 6, wherefore also, it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the same stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, and God meant for them to be there. That's what it says.
Yeah.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. For what reason? That ye should let people know what you are now. Is that what it says?
No.
The first thing is that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, if you don't have the horse, the cart won't do you no good. Because when you go downhill, it'll run over you without the horse.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to go uphill, you probably won't make it to the top.
Yeah.
If you got the cart and the horse, you got all you need, don't you? Who does the work when you have the cart and the horse? The horse and the cart does the work, don't it? Now look, you show forth his praises. That's first, that's paramount. That's paramount. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. And let me point this out. Penny and I were talking the other day, and we were just talking about what it is when you experience the grace of God. I don't mean just believe in the doctrines. I'm talking about when God Almighty gives you personal grace. It changes everything. You know that? You see the world differently. You see the trees differently. You see the stars differently. And you definitely see the Word of God differently.
Yes, sir.
And remember, we obtained mercy. We didn't go out and attain mercy.
Exactly.
I think it was Tim James again who sometimes Tim, God just uses him just to show me some things from his Word. Tim says it is the pinnacle of pride and rebellion to tell anyone, I'm going to let you show me mercy. You know that? That's the pinnacle of pride and rebellion and self-righteousness. I'm going to let you show me mercy. If I went out and I harmed you, and then I come to you and say, well, I'm going to let you be merciful to me. You just say, what kind of fool are you? Wouldn't you?
Yep.
Mercy is mine to give if you've offended me.
Exactly.
You don't come to me and tell me you're going to let me show you mercy. And yet this is the way people present God every day. Not only in this country and all the world, God's mercy is sovereign.
Amen.
He has mercy on whom he wants, because mercy has to be that way.
Exactly.
It has to. Or it's not mercy, it's reward.
Yeah.
Now let me move on. Now look, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. Why? Because they war against your soul. Having your conversation, and that means your way of life. What?
Yeah.
Honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, and they will if you're showing forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because he ain't got to the other. That was what come first. That's the reason they speak about you as an evildoer.
Yeah.
I don't care how righteous of a person you are among men. You tell people about the personal work of Christ, they'll call you every name in the book. I don't care how upstanding a citizen you are. They will start to accuse you not only of what you've done, but of things you even haven't even done. But look, that they speak against you as evildoers, they may buy your good works, which they shall behold. Is that not what our Lord was saying over there in chapter 5, verse 16? Look, glorify God when? In the day of visitation. Now here's where I'd love to have time, but I don't. It's 12 o'clock. What does that mean? Day of visitation. You know, the religious people, boy, they're looking for that really deep, you know, day of visitation. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Here's what it means. A divine visit. Now, there's only one being that can give you a divine visit.
Exactly.
That's a divine being. Okay? It's a divine visit for the purpose of blessing or judging. To condemn.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, if you look at Jeremiah 10 and verse 15, I'm not going to turn back and read it, you'll find a day of visitation that is to someone's damnation. He says, in the day of their visitation, they shall perish.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But there's also a visitation that is a blessing from God. Yes, it said, remember that God visited Sarah.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it? Well, he visited her. God visited her.
Yeah.
Think about that. God visited her. In Acts chapter 15, it talked, you read it, Joe, that God did what? Visit the Gentiles. To do what?
Yeah.
To call out of them a people for his name.
Amen.
You see that? So when are men going to glorify God? When? Either in their judgment or in their salvation.
Amen.
You see, and I'm going to give you this illustration. It's not illustration. This is an example. It's a fact. And I say this, and Joe knows this. When Joe first began to talk to me, as best he could, about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ 26, 27, 28 years ago, I looked for every reason I could find in Joe and what Joe said to somehow not believe what Joe was saying to me. You know that? I found every excuse under the sun, David, to keep from bowing to what he was trying to tell me. But when God Almighty visited me with his grace, I thanked God for everything Joe Galusik had said to me. You know that? I thank God for it. It was a blessing. You know why? Because when God gives you grace, then you'll begin to learn grace. You don't learn grace and then get it. He gives it, and then he visits you with it. Then you start to learn what it really is.
Amen.
And what does grace do? It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously in this world. Why? So we can get to heaven? No, so we can honor our Father.
Exactly. That's it.
As I've said before, if the only reason you're faithful to your spouse is just so you don't even get in trouble, you ain't much of a spouse yourself.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? If the only reason you're faithful to your spouse is just so you don't get in trouble, you ain't much of a spouse whatsoever. You see, you do what's right because it's right. Because you love someone. Because you love something.
Exactly.
That's why God's people are like they are in the Spirit. It's not so we can get to heaven, David. It's not so we can get to heaven. It's because it honors and glorifies our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. Every person that you or me has ever spoken to of the person and work of Jesus Christ will one day glorify God. Even if God has to visit them in judgment at the end. Because the visitation could be either. And you know what? It's totally up to God. You know that? It says ye are the light of the world. One thing the scripture says you're salt. It says you're a city set on the hill. The one thing scripture never describes us as. One thing. You will not find it. Is life.
Yeah.
Think about that.
That's exactly
right. Yeah, we're light. Because we can shine forth or show forth what? His light.
Exactly.
Right? We are salt because we can season with what? Grace. We are that light. But one thing we never are and never can be is what? Life.
True.
Now, let me jump ahead to June the 9th. You remember those 10 virgins? Hmm? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 foolish said to the 5 wise right at the end, when the cry went forth, the bridegroom comes, and they realized they had no oil in their lamp, what did they say? What did the 5 foolish say to the 5 wise? Give us some of your oil. And you know what? The 5 wise didn't say, well, let's see if we can figure out how to do this. You know what they said? Not so. Because if we give you some, we won't have enough to make it. Now you think about that. One thing I cannot transfer, we don't transfer it. All we can do is declare it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. I cannot transfer any of it. I can't transfer life, light, godliness, righteousness. No, I can't transfer it.
Yeah. Exactly.
What I have as a gift. It's mine, but only mine.
Yeah. That's right.
I can't share it with you.
Exactly.
You know that?
That's it.
I can't share it with you. And you know what? That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
There is only one true light. There's a lot more I could have went in. I don't have time. There's only one true light. That's Christ's person and word. And I understand having someone you care about and they're caught up in this or that, you know, thing. But the scripture gives it, you know, you read it, Joe. The works of the flesh are manifest.
Yeah.
And we could go and you say, but I got this person I care about. They're caught up in that. And if I could just get them out of that. No, it won't do no good.
Yeah, you're
The person, the message of the person and work of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will benefit them. But at the same time, it may be what damns them. Because the one last verse I'll leave you with is the verse the Apostle Paul said. He said, our gospel. He actually said, we are, because we're the ones that sound forth the gospel.
Yes, sir.
He said, we are a savor of what? Life unto what? Life. Now that's not, we give, you don't give it life to anybody.
No.
We are a savor of life to those who already have life. That's what he's talking about.
Exactly.
And unto those that are dead, what are we? A savor of death.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
That's what he says.
Yes,
you see, the person that determines all this is God Almighty.
Exactly.
Not me. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter. See, I look back and I look at the thought. I was a slave to sin. And the more I tried to get out of that pit, the dirtier and the filthier I got. You know that? The more I dug at the sides trying to get out of that pit. I wanted out. Couldn't get out. But when God reached in and got a hold of me, he brought me out of that pit.
Amen.
And that's why the Old Testament prophet said, remember the pit from which you was what? Digged.
Yeah.
Not from which you dug yourself out.
Exactly.
But from which you was digged. Now the question is, has God dug you out of the pit yet?
Yes, sir.
That's all I can ask.
Yeah.
Has he dug you out of the pit? If you're in the pit, there ain't nothing you can do to get out.
You're right.
Boy, ain't much hope. No, that ain't no hope.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no hope there.
Exactly.
The fact is, you can't do it. But here's the hope. If God's purpose to do it for you, he'll do it for you.
Amen.
And it'll happen.
Yeah.
What? At the set time. That's when God visited Sarah, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
He said, Sarah shall have a son. When did she have a son? Exactly when God Almighty said she would. And when does God Almighty dig a person out of the pit? Exactly when he's purposed to.
Amen.
Not before or not after.
Exactly.
Or not for any other reason.
Yeah.
I heard a fellow this morning said, boy, ain't you... Now listen, I want to say to every mother here, Happy Mother's Day. And I thank God for every one of you, every mother here that believes Christ. I thank God for you. But let me tell you, not a one of you prayed us into Christ.
Exactly.
That's what that felt. Boy, ain't you glad you had a Christian mother that prayed for you. No, let me tell you something. I had a Christ who prayed for me. I have a Christ who died for me. I have a Christ who lives for me. I have a Christ who reigns for me. And that's what matters. And that's our message.
Yes, sir.
Not mommy, not daddy, Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Father, may we be taught these things, not just as doctrine, but in our experience. And Lord, may we truly seek to honor you in truth. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.